all the political parties are moving into the environmental debate with enthusiasm. That poses one interesting question. How should the Green Party plan its political future? Our guest editor, Zach Goldsmith, he hopes to stand for the Conservatives at the next general election. He's also the editor, of course, of The Ecologist and is moved by these matters. Asked our political correspondent, Mark Sanders, to report for us.
David Cameron harnessed the Huskies and headed for the Arctic to show he's taking his party in a new direction. Now the Green Party must decide which course to chart. Should it follow him and others into the mainstream, or stay ideologically pure and perhaps alone in the cold? Tom Burke, visiting professor of environmental policy at Imperial College London, has this advice for the Greens.
I think you've got to start with where people are and not with where you are. Its policy agenda still sounds a bit brown bread and sandals. It's still much more interested in sort of wacky ideas than it is in actual things that might relate to people's concerns. You still hear them talking a little bit as if they're a sort of bunch of scientific nerds of the sort of Taliban purist kind.
Already, other environmental groups have reached beyond the boundaries of traditional support to retain influence. The director of Friends of the Earth is Tony Juniper.
One of the things that we're doing at the moment on the subject of climate change, for example, is building a bigger coalition called Stop Climate Chaos, which isn't only the green groups, but trying to bring the green message to new constituencies who haven't previously seen it as a priority. For example, the development organisations and the Women's Institute and some of the trade unions and faith groups. The issues have become mainstream. I wonder if the challenge for the Green Party in some senses is also to become mainstream.
The Green Party is still determined to make the long march to Westminster and believes it starts by the sea. I'm on Muesli Mountain, the nickname for this part of Brighton. The Greens took 22% of the vote at the last general election in Brighton Pavilion, coming a strong third. They believe they can win next time, but without PR for Westminster elections, one MP is perhaps all they can hope for. Keith Taylor was the Green candidate here.
The value of having an MP in the Houses of Parliament is that he or she could make the arguments about climate change, about the tokenism that the other parties are actually presenting, and saying, no, that is not good enough. And if they're there in Parliament, that argument can't be ignored.
With environmentalists critical of the government's policies on airport expansion and aircraft emissions, Stephen Hale from the Green Alliance think tank believes the Green Party's role should be one of quality control, setting a new green standard.
Aviation is the classic example of the government making a conscious political choice not to worry about the climate change impact of the decision they're making. I think the Green Party are there to hold a line, to set a standard, and that's certainly what we in the Green movement are trying to do.
My government will publish a bill on climate change as part of its policy to protect the environment.
As the parties now clothe themselves in green, Peter Madden from the sustainability charity Forum for the Future believes the Green Party should help tailor policy for the main parties to develop new ideas rather than moaning from the margins.
I think there's a bit of a danger that all the mainstream parties are going to cluster around the political centre. And there's a real question then, where does the thinking about the next set of challenges come from? Who's coming up with the radical ideas? And I think the Green Party traditionally have helped to do that, to be an incubator, if you like, for the kind of the next set of ideas, but then can get adopted into the mainstream.
So is it time for the Greens to welcome the other parties onto their turf, to understand and influence that mainstream? Is it better to be a credible green conscience than to cling on to electoral ambitions that may never be fulfilled?
Mark Sanders reporting, and we're joined by Caroline Lucas, Green Member of the European Parliament for South East England. Good morning.
Good morning.
Which is it?
Well, I think it depends what you mean when you say, should we be going mainstream? If it means, should we be joining the soggy, muddled, compromised centre-ground where all the other three parties are gathering where you can hardly slip a £5 note between them on their policies, then I think that's deeply unattractive and I think that would be the wrong way to go. If you mean, should we be getting our message across to new groups, then absolutely yes, but I'd be arguing that we've been doing that for years. In Oxford, where I was the first Green County Councillor that was elected over 10 years ago, I was elected not in a leafy suburb, but in one of the most deprived areas in Oxford, precisely because of our policies on reinvigorating local economies. So I think we're actually doing that already.
Do you think you have anything that you can learn from the main parties, or are they just soggy, useless and ridiculous, as you suggest?
I think their policies are soggy, quite frankly, and I think you need to look no further than the Labour Party, which on the one hand claims that climate change is the greatest threat we face, and then in the same breath sanctions a massive expansion of airport capacity across the southeast, aviation being the fastest growing source of greenhouse gas emissions. That gulf between rhetoric and reality is replayed throughout the parties, through the Lib Dems, who again say that they want to do something about aviation, but again their councillors from Manchester to Exeter, from Sheffield to Liverpool, are all actually supporting the expansion of airports, the same with Conservatives. So I think we don't have very much to learn about the actual policies. Where we might have something to talk about, I think, is about how we convey our message. And I, for one, certainly believe that we should be having a much more upbeat message, saying that green policies isn't about brown bread, as Tom Burke was saying, and it certainly isn't about wacky ideas, it's about practical solutions. And that's what Greens are now supplying in local councils up and down the country.
So it's quite tough, yeah, I mean, local councils. So you want to argue, let's be absolutely clear about this, for pricing people off aircraft, because you believe that's a fundamental part of the attack on global warming.
We believe that the only way that we're going to be able to make aviation less unsustainable is by reducing the overall level of aviation in this country and across Europe and the world.
Pricing people off planes is the only way to do it.
Exactly. And I don't deny that. I would actually be proud to say that the Green Party is prepared to say that. That comes back to what Stephen Hale was saying about quality control. It comes back to saying this is the only way forward. And if you look at the other parties' policies on aviation, they simply don't stack up. You can't look at something that is the fastest growing source of greenhouse gases, that is doubling in 20 years, trebling in 30 years, and give the green light to more expansion. And none of the other parties, quite frankly, have got the political guts and courage to say that we actually want to reduce the overall amount of aviation. They'll come up with schemes like an emissions trading scheme, which in the way it's being designed, it could be designed in a much better way, the way it's being designed basically means that over 20 years, aviation, instead of growing by 145%, will grow by 138%. I mean, come on, this is a massive challenge, and it's the Greens who've got the courage to say what needs to be done.
Caroline Lucas, thank you.
www.bbc.co.uk/today.